Hello and welcome to another The Truth Hurts, Especially When You're Drunk episode of Dave Wright's podcast. I'm your host, Dave Wright. Each week here, I'd like to share one of my short stories and the next chapter from my novel, Soul. As usual, if you would like to know more about this week's chapter, then stick around at the end. For now, let's get into it. This week is chapter 11, called Concentration. Present day. Trying to not stagger too obviously as I passed the immortal man, I left the Rusty Duck to head home. The night's evening air was doing its best to sober me up, but I was too far gone. The guilt was burning in me now along with the booze. I had made my choice. A part of me whispered, "You can't keep lying to yourself." I hated that voice. It must have been because I was so distracted with my own pity party that it took more than a few blocks of stumbling and holding my ribs that my pickled brain finally managed to get my attention. It had been screaming, "We are being followed, you idiot," since leaving the duck. After all my self-talk about taking care, I had let this happen. I had thought there was no way that me restarting the search for the seeker would stir a response this fast. I tried to feel relief that I had an inkling now that the Seeker was still here in Arcadia and wielding power from the shadows. A meager relief if I was not going to survive long enough to pat myself on the back for being oh so smart. As the two white hands joined me in the alley, I tried to stealthily look at them. They rumbled me immediately. The fish-eyed drunken stare I was giving them must have looked laughable in its attempt to be subtle. "You know you made the wrong choice," that smug voice in my head said. I hated it all the more as it was me. Blearily casting around the alley, I realized that trying to stay off the main streets and staying hidden only worked in my favor if I was hidden. Now it meant there was no one around, nowhere to run, and in a narrow alley, drunkenly trying to not puke against two sober white hands, I was screwed.
"All right, lads,"
I called out, my gravelly voice worse for the fear.
"Fair game, you copped me. What do you need?"
As they got closer, I knew it was the same two that I had seen in the Rusty Duck. If they'd wanted to send a message, they would have approached me there. My stomach sank, which was a dangerous thing right now. They had staked out the duck, knowing it was my old haunt, and then followed me out. I desperately tried to sober up fast. This was no longer a stern warning, no longer even a little rough and tumble. They were here to destroy my mind. The slick cobbles beneath my feet were no firm footing for a sober man, let alone someone in my current state. I'd let them get too close to try and run now. I watched as they slid apart, each taking a side of the alley to not get in the other's way. They still had not responded, nor even reacted to my question. So sure in their approach. Of course they were. They had seen me show up half-sourced and beaten to the Rusty Duck, and then I'd continued to put it away like my life depended on it. My own voice whispered again through the booze, "You made your choice. You can always make it again." I felt a flood of hatred and self-loathing. It was weakness. I needed help. This city was a disease to me. It always had been. The white hands in front of me were ignorant of my internal conflict. The one on the left slowly removed his gloves, reverently folding and pocketing them. He reached out towards my bare skin. His murky blue eyes were holding mine without effort. His face showed utter confidence that this drunken fool in front of him could not avoid his touch. I felt a moment of relief and knew this was my only chance. They didn't know. So sure in their borrowed super, they'd never considered it might not work on me. His confidence revealed that he had only ever dealt with normies before. I pushed the relief away and let the naked fear show on my face. I didn't have to act very hard. His touch was ice cold as he ordered, "Drop the case, stop looking for the seeker." Slight pause before the customary white hand command. This man knew his theatrics. "Obey us." I concentrated as hard as I ever had, the ghost of lilacs drifting across me, praying that my pickled brain still had enough control, and slumped forward as if accepting this new reality. Suddenly straightening my legs, twisting my hips and shoulders, I drove my fist up into his chin with all the fear, hatred, and self-loathing I had in me. I felt his neck snap back, the moist cracking sound bouncing around the uncaring stone walls. I kept rising. I felt my body shudder and flicker. I concentrated through the alcohol haze and wrestled back control. The white hand flew away from me. I spun as fast as my stumpy legs and yowling stomach would allow and ran. I heard the body hit the cobblestones behind me as I was already 2 steps into my escape and accelerating. Adrenaline was flooding my system and burning away at the edges of the drink. I ran. I didn't look behind me. I didn't think about where I was running to. I just knew I had to run. I ran like I was trying to escape myself. The alleyways and boulevards were a blur of noise and color, of pockets of silence and stench. I danced and juked around bodies, the adrenaline allowing me to avoid any rogue touch. After an age, perhaps a few minutes, the adrenaline started to wear off, and I slowed in another unnamed alley. I could smell cooking. The rubbish left out here was all rotting food and rats. Somewhere on the edge of the old town, near Pruder Street, my mind sullenly offered up. As I stopped and wheezed, the barrier between my mouth and stomach didn't exist anymore, and I painted the cobbles. I don't know how long I stood there, collapsed against the wall. My nose burning, my lungs on fire, my ribs pulsing in pain, my hand adding its own melody of hurt, my choices slowly oozing around my feet. The wind was not enough to carry away the smell of my failure. The pain was not enough to burn away my shame. Slowly, I managed to return to my own mind. The wine hands wanted me to stop looking, so they were still connected to the seeker. I filed that away with my earlier musings. That was a part of the puzzle I needed, an edge piece maybe. Unable to process it right now though, my eyes focused again on the mess I had made. What had I been doing? Why was I like this? My face burned. I wanted nothing more than to hide away from the world, to pull the ground over me and disappear. You made your choice, my mind sadistically offered up. Shuddering, I felt myself collapsing further, my legs an inferno, trying to hold onto the wall to keep out of the pool of regret I had created. I had to think. There was so much I had to think about, and I couldn't keep it all in my head anymore. I felt like I was gonna burst, but I wouldn't let that happen again. There was a piece of my soul missing. There had been for a long time now. I wanted to go home. I was not sure where that was anymore. That was Chapter 11, Concentration. A short, punchy one, dripping with hints and nods. My favorite ones to write. I think this chapter is the first one with the obvious reveal that Sol does possess a super. Part of the feedback I got from people where I was not being obvious enough, well, one of the reasons I had this whole scene was to really drive home that he is a super. There is a lot more going on in this scene than that, though. The partial reveal of how the White Hands work and why they're so feared. I actually spent a while trying to write a short story based on the White Hands leader, but I couldn't make it work. It was much too hard to try and write them in an interesting way without completely breaking the canon of the Sol or Seeker storyline. The themes in this chapter were hard to get across without blowing the whole thing up as well. As I said before, nothing annoys me more than writers making smug call-ahead references. So I had to allow the themes to stand on their own and hope they're strong enough as written without embellishment. Although I will say, the internal voice for Sol is much more present, which is because he's drunk. But I couldn't find a diegetic way to make this obvious but not sound stupid. I especially want to show, though, that Sol is not a fighter. His power is either not for combat or he doesn't use it as such. The only reason the punch had any strength to it was because Sol was fueling it with his own self-loathing. It was not rage or hate against an other, it was against himself. Well, that's all for this week. Next week, we jump back in time 10 years again to continue the Seeker story. Don't forget, I have a Patreon up if you want to throw some support my way. You can find the details on my website, davewrights.com. That's Dave, W-R-I-G-H-T-S.com. Hopefully, I'll see you all next week. Take care.